lot of fond memories of the song It Will Be Worth It All. At our very first church, fresh out of college, we were at a church in Newark, Ohio, just a little bit east from Columbus, and we had an elder in our church that would sit right here. His name was Grandpa Robinson. He was 90 years old. He had a cane, and he had a sweet spirit about him, and when we would sing that song, Grandpa Robinson would get so worked up, so worked up. It was, for him, it was one of the hand raisers, where he was getting involved, and then when he would really get emotionally involved, it was the hand and the cane, and they were both up. And I can just remember so many sweet memories of exaggerating the chorus and singing loud, and just that song is so potent and so full of truth, it truly will be worth it all when we see our Savior. All right, that's not the end of the message, but let's turn to Psalm 107 this evening, and I want to give you some encouragement around the season that you and I are involved with right now, and that's the Thanksgiving season. For many of us, it's full of time with our family. Sometimes on Thanksgiving, we spend some time with friends, and usually we'll eat and enjoy each other's company, but that's not all, obviously, that Thanksgiving is. You know the historical process and how we've come to the actual holiday of Thanksgiving through the pilgrims and the Mayflower and the whole passage for religious freedom. But today, in 2023, Thanksgiving is quite different, and we've often relegated Thanksgiving to give back to God the blessings that we have seen in the past and to kind of review those. And obviously, there's nothing wrong with that. We're going to talk about that in depth this evening. But let's do this. Let's make our reading. Then we'll pray, and then we'll move on with this evening's message. Psalm 107, verse number 21 says this: Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Lord, we do come before you this evening. We ask for your help. We ask, dear Lord, that you'd send your Holy Spirit to begin to change and challenge our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would be open and supple and maneuverable and pliable for the working of your Spirit. And then, dear Lord, these dear people don't need to hear from me tonight. They certainly don't need to hear my thoughts, but, Lord, they do need to hear from you. And I ask, dear God, that that would happen. Send your Holy Spirit to challenge and work in our hearts and bring us to a point of decision and then action. We let this time rest in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when you and I think about Thanksgiving, I would be honest with you, just a lot of wonderful thoughts. A lot of things kind of flood my mind around time with family and friends. And really, for me, this Thanksgiving season is a time where I personally rehearse God's goodness. And historically, there are things in the past, things that I find very pleasurable, things that have basically fallen on my side and have gone well for me. And so you and I can do that, and we look back and we rehearse God's goodness and his supply to us. And I've got to be honest with you, God is so good. And he does such a wonderful job of supplying us with what we need on a daily basis. God's a great protector as well, and I'm thankful for that. I know that Tyreen Connie was in an automobile accident with a deer just this past week while she was traveling for work. And we sat in Home Builders and just thanked God for the protection. She made a decision while that deer passed in front of her not to swerve and not do anything. But she's here this morning and was great. Has a bruise on her forearm, but we're thankful that she's well. You know, we think about God's protection. We think about his care. I want to draw some attention to God's mediation for us absolutely every single day and the grace and the mercy that you and I so wonderfully take advantage of from the hand of God. And traditionally during Thanksgiving, we focus in on the past, and oftentimes we can focus in on the present, and there are some things today that are not ideal in all of our lives. Now, it's just us here tonight, okay? Can I ask you just a personal question? Is absolutely everything in your life ideal at this second? No, it's not. Some of you gave me a smile. Some of you gave me a frown. Some of you gave me one of these things. It's not ideal. But I want to teach you and share with you today that Thanksgiving focuses on the nature of God and not our circumstances. It is so easy for me to rely on Thanksgiving to really record and rehearse the blessings that I find good, but Thanksgiving is so much more than that. We can focus in on the present, and God is worthy of our praise there. And then literally we can focus in on the future, but this is surely an act of faith. How can you and I be thankful for the future when we really don't know it and we haven't put our stamp of approval on what God is doing? You say, what? What did you say, Bob? Isn't it just like us human beings to oftentimes give God some help in his will? Oftentimes we've already formulated in our mind some solutions to the problem, and we offer them to God in prayer, as if this would be a good path if you took this away right now. I know none of you have prayed that prayer, but I have. Lord, if you could do this today, probably best scenario for me and for everybody. And oftentimes that's not part of God's plan. It's not part of his will. But you and I can be very thankful in these times because God is good and his will is absolutely positively perfect. How many of you have found that out after the fact? After things didn't go the way that you designed them? After the Lord, he didn't get your email, now your fax, now your text message, he did his perfect will, and then you look back and you realize, oh, I was so foolish. I'm so embarrassed. Lord, thank you for blessing me the way that you always do, and you have. Back in the Old Testament, there's actually a Thanksgiving offering. You're probably a little acquainted with this, but this is more a free will offering. It wasn't required. It was optional, just like Thanksgiving today is. And at the time, they would offer an animal, and oftentimes the first fruits of the field or the harvest or their grains and such. A portion of it was given straight to Christ, to God. A portion of it was given to the priest, and then a portion of it was left to the offerer, but that portion needed to be ate that day, needed to be consumed that day and not left for the next day. And you and I, as we look back into the Old Testament, there are about 114 times where the thought of Thanksgiving surfaces. And this thread continues through the New Testament and is well versed our time for today. And when we think about Thanksgiving, it is literally just a confession or a verbalization of what Christ has done, and it's kind of a wellspring out of our heart. So how do we do this? In Psalms chapter 107, verse number 21, it says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice a sacrifice of praise or of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." So one of the core concepts that you and I have today in Thanksgiving is this. You have to speak. You have to say the words. And my wife and I have a little thing going on from day to day. We will text each other periodically, once for sure, and we'll say thank you, I love you. We get a little gushy sometimes with the text messages, and so we'll go back and forth, but there's always Thanksgiving that's involved. Now, as a man with an ego, I really love that. I really do. Here's my wife. She's thankful for what I've done, and oftentimes I'll initiate, or oftentimes she will as well, and I thank her, and I'll say, thank you for your diligence in the home, and the care, and the love, and the attention to the children, the attention to me, and that Thanksgiving literally gives life to our marriage. it literally grows our marriage. So I got to tell you, Thanksgiving, one of the core thoughts is that you actually speak. Now, our pastor's here, and you've heard me say this before. I'm not going to embarrass him, and he knows exactly what I'm going to say. I love thanking our pastors. And I want to encourage you to do that as well. You can text our pastor and say, thank you so much. Great job on the message. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for tending the flock. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you for being here every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Thank you for your hard work during the week. And you know who else you can thank? The pastor's wife. She needs it as well. It's okay. You can do it. You can text. If you pass them in the hallway, you can say, hey, can I have a second? I want to say something. Thank you. I appreciate you. Goes an absolute million miles. I have a thing during the day that I like to do. I like to call up pastor friends. I do a lot of driving during the day. And so one of the things that I'll do is I'll call one pastor a day. And sometimes I don't even know them. But I'll ring their phone 100%. If they don't know me, straight to voicemail. I get it. And so I'll text them right afterwards. And I'll say, hey, my name's Bob. Want to just have a bit of a word with you, or maybe some encouragement. If you can't talk, no biggie. Let me know if you're free any portion of this week, and I'll call in. And the only thing that I do is, as I say, thank you. Thank you for preaching. Thank you for staying by the stuff. Thank you for staying in the pulpit. And I just want to have a word of prayer with you. I cannot even tell you the responses that I get from that one simple phone call of thank you. Usually I get, what do you need? What do you want? Well, yeah, this is just a one-way street. I don't need anything. I'm not on deputation. None of that stuff. I just want to tell you thank you. Well, who are you? Well, I'm Bob. I told you that already. I literally just want to say thank you. And they think there's got to be a secondary cause. What's he trying to do? There's something sneaky going on. No. Just thank you. And I want to encourage you to continue to do that. But obviously the message is so much deeper and is so much more involved with that. But why would we do this? Why would we go and be thankful during a season like this? And Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 20, that you and I are commanded to give thanks in all things. And why would we do that? Because God is actually good in all things. He is. I don't know if you heard that or not, so let me restate that for you tonight. God really is good in all things. He is. He's good in our trials, right? Even when things are not going our way. He's good during our times of testing. Even though things aren't good that we think, God is good. God's also good in perfect times. He's also good when things are absolutely perfect with us, though that's going to be an oddity for sure for us human beings. God is good in all things all the time. And I'm going to share with you 3 points, and we'll move on quickly tonight. Number one, Thanksgiving is an actual act of faith. When you think about this, you and I have a tendency to look back on God's goodness because it kind of fulfilled all of our desires. It was an answer to our prayer request, but I want to encourage you, don't fail to look forward as well and be thankful for what God is about to do. You say, well, is that maybe a bit presumptuous on your behalf? No, not a chance. You know why? God is good. He's always been good. He always will be good, and we have cause and reason for thankfulness. I want to give you an illustration that kind of hopefully will bring this to home for you and I today. Our pastor Potter took off a bit ago. I don't know how long it's been, a couple months for sure. And when I personally heard the announcement the pastor was leaving, I was saddened, but I knew that God had a bigger plan in place. And so I was thankful for that. Thankful for his time served here. Thankful for his attention to the flock that's here, and to the children, and to the youth group, and to the Christian school. And then that was the past. And now we have the present. And you know what? I find myself thankful for Brandon and Esther. And I find myself thankful for Josh and for Courtney. I find myself thankful for them and for everything that God is doing through them. And I see a lot of hope, and I see a lot of encouragement in the kids' eyes. And I see how they're relating to their leaders today. And you know what? That's a present-day thankfulness. But you know what I'm also thankful for? I don't know who he is. I don't know when he's coming. But you know what? I'm thankful for the youth pastor that God's going to provide for this ministry already. But you know, it's an act of faith. I can tell you a couple things about this guy, but I don't know. He's not going to be perfect. He's a human being. But I'm thankful for God. I know his heart is going to be bent towards ministry and serving. So I'm thankful. And I want to encourage you that thankfulness really is an act of faith. How many of you know what's going on tomorrow? We don't. But we can be thankful because I know who holds tomorrow in the palm of his hand. So I want to encourage you today to be thankful. It is literally an act of faith. And don't fail to look forward and to be thankful for God's provisions, for his goodness and his care and his protection. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 2 says this, devote yourself to prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4. We'll make another reading tonight. Philippians 4:4 says this, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, we're directed to pray with thanksgiving. Like, literally, in our prayers for the future, couple them with thanksgiving. How many of you have something today that is maybe deep in nature? Maybe not ideal. Maybe a little bit distasteful or difficult for you to go through. You don't need to raise your hand, but I would say everybody here qualifies for that in one way or another. Do you know tonight you can pray with a thankful heart, knowing that your life and your problem and in your trial will be answered by an almighty, all-powerful, omniscient God who has our best interest at heart? You say, Bob, you have no idea the caliber of this problem. I say this respectfully. I don't need to know the caliber of your problem. I know Christ. And I know how he deals and he works. And you and I substantively can be thankful in faith for what God's going to do. I would encourage you to do that. I know it's a little bit of a different thought, but I know for sure what Scripture directs us to do today. So you and I are directed to pray with thanksgiving, and that thanksgiving is a testimony to others. Now, I teach a class called Home Builders on Sunday mornings at 9:30. I love the class. I love the people that are in the class. I really do. But one of the things that we do is we consistently focus in on the home. Different avenues and different perspectives and how you and I can be better parents, better moms and dads, better husbands, better wives, all that stuff. And one of the greatest things that you and I can do in the home is leave a testimony of thanksgiving with those who are around us. I'm talking about our children. Mom and Dad, can I ask you a question tonight? Are you verbally thankful to God in front of the kids? I think it's a needed commodity today. I think for sure our kids need to know that we're trusting God fully. What about at work? Have these words ever slipped out of your mouth at work? Oh, thank the Lord. Have you ever said those words before? I mean, those words too are potent as well. literally giving a testimony of thankfulness from our relationship with God to a world that needs to know that God is worthy to be thanked and He is good. When you offer thanks, you are literally telling God, I trust you, and I know that you know what's going on, and I trust your perfect work. Not only is thanksgiving an act of faith, but thanksgiving is an act of worship as well. A couple of weeks ago, Tamara and I went down to Bob Jones, and we were getting together with a couple of our college friends that we always stayed with, and these folks were just getting ready to transition to a new church. And I was asking my friend, where are we going this Sunday morning for church? And he said, you know what? I've been wanting to visit this church, and now when I tell you the name of it, it's going to make you giggle a little bit. So he told me the name, and I said, oh, okay. The name of the church is Mud Creek Baptist Church. I thought, oh, boy. So in my mind, I'm thinking Mud Creek. I'm feeling like a log home church theme, maybe some snake handling. Like, what's going on at Mud Creek Baptist Church? It seems like a little backwoods. When we got to the church, it was this beautiful, beautiful building. Now, it definitely played a game on what I thought it was going to be. We walked into the church. The people were extremely friendly. We sat down. People came to shake our hands. And I love, my kids make fun of me, but whenever we're traveling, I absolutely love visiting new churches. My kids are destroyed by this. They think, Dad, you pick out the weirdest churches on the planet. And maybe I do. But I absolutely love, I love taking notes and seeing how people operate. I love seeing how people treat visitors, things of that nature. So Tamara and I sat down, and the church began to fill up. It was a pretty full church. And I leaned over to my wife, and I said, Babe, I think this church is a hand-raising church. I'm forecasting a lot of, you know, risen hands, for sure, especially during the song service. And so she agreed. She thought this is the case. And so we began to into our worship portion of the service. Now, everything was great musically. A lot of traditional hymns, a lot of things that I didn't know, but they were sedate and very, very nice. And all of a sudden, I catch onto my left periphery. There's a man, a pair of jeans on and a flannel. His hand goes up. And I thought, I kind of nudged my wife, and I said, all right, there's number one. And I said, I'm thinking we could be 50 to 100. You know, the song just started. And all of a sudden, we were seated at this time. I've never seen a church do this before, but people would not just raise their hand, they would straight stand up, like all by themselves. And so I'm looking around, and everybody's standing up, and I'm the only one sitting down. And I'm like, all right, we're going to have to do this thing too. Let's get up and stand up. Like, I don't want to be the oddball here. Next song starts, everybody's seated. All of a sudden comes a hand, and then people start standing up again. I was like, well, that's really, really, really different. I've never seen this before. The first song came, and I catch this gentleman, pair of blue jeans and a flannel, out of my left periphery again, and he's worshiping God. He's having a heart connection, 100%. There is, in his mind, there is nobody in the auditorium. He is impressing absolutely nobody. But he's communing with his God. And I was there for a second, and I told my wife, that man literally is worshiping his Savior through song. Tears flowing down his eyes. Completely authentic. And in my heart, I told our Savior, Lord, give me that heart during the song service. And so I can sit in the auditorium here, and all of us have been through a lot of services together. Any song that comes up, I promise you, I think I know all the words. I think I got them all memorized. My mind can sing the song, and I can get all the words out correctly, the correct timing, and mentally, I cannot be connected. I have this ability. I don't even have to connect with the message of the song. I'll sing it, but I won't even concentrate on the message. I have that ability. And there's other times when I'll sing a song and I'm one line into the song and my spirit is broken. And I am communing with our Savior and I am worshiping Him for His goodness and His love and His compassion for me, a dirty sinner. For you and I, thanksgiving is an act of worship as well. Not only is it an act of faith, but surely it is an act of worship as well. It's adoration. It's revering our Lord. And in Psalm chapter 95, verse number 2, Scripture says, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. You see, this thanksgiving is a preliminary act of worship. And I would encourage you as well to let it be a preliminary act of your prayer life as well. You're familiar with the acrostic ACTS when you pray, and that very first A stands for adoration. I would love to encourage you on one point. With your personal time with God, I would encourage you to start off with complete adoration for our Savior. I am not ashamed to tell you this. He completely deserves it, our adoration. So I would challenge you in your own personal time that you start off by adoring our Savior and how wonderful well He takes care of us and how He sustains us. And we'll go through some of His attributes a little bit later, but this is substantive in your prayer life and in your time with our Savior. Psalm chapter 100, verse number 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise. Give thanks unto Him and bless His name. Psalm chapter 69, verses 30 through 31, I will praise the name of God with a song and magnify Him with thanksgiving. Whenever I read through this verse, sometimes my mind just focuses in on a word in the verse. And most of the time when I read this passage of Scripture, I focus in on the word magnify. That our thanksgiving magnifies something that is present with our Savior. I'll drift back to my childhood for a second. I would visit my grandma. I call her Nana. And she lived in Downers Grove. And when I would visit her, there's a couple things that I would do repetitiously. I would go straight for the cookie container. Now, inside the cooking container, maybe you have some memories of this as well. But do you remember the old Tupperware containers? Most of them came in like a burnt orange or like an olive green. And it was kind of like a 9-inch, you know, container, and it had like a lid on there. It stars, you know, it was kind of like shaped like a star or whatever. And my grandma had these everywhere, and I can remember, you know, both my brother and I beelining straight for the cookie container, and we would pop it open. And do you know what was in there? I don't know if you guys still eat these. They're from Archway. They're called windmill cookies. Have you guys run across these in the past? All right, try them out. They're really delicious. That's not the end of the message either. But I would go there and repetitiously do that, and then I would go sit on my grandma's chair, and on her chair she had a crossword puzzle, and she had a magnifying glass. So I would take this magnifier, and I would, you know, kind of do one of these to the crossword puzzle, and she was gifted with crossword puzzles. I was just a kid. And I would look at it, and then I would take the magnifying glass, and I'd go have fun with it. And she'd always say, hey, Bobby, make sure when you're done, number one, don't break it. Number two, put it right back where you found it. I would go outside. I would do all kinds of stuff, literally just taking this magnifying glass, and whether it was something super, super small or whatever it was, I would take this magnifying glass, and it would take something that's there, and it would present it to my eyes in a full fashion. And when we give thanks to God, we literally magnify something that is there, and we're about to see it in fullness. Now, that's great for you and I, but you know what? We can do that with other people as well. Thanksgiving is a rehearsal of something that's happened in the past, the present, or by faith in the future. Would your work associate need to know about Christ? Would your children need to know about Christ? Would you take that opportunity of thanksgiving and give it a chance to be magnified through your voice? You see, thanksgiving is an act of faith. Thanksgiving is an act of worship as well. And then finally, thanksgiving explains the nature of God. In Psalms 118, verse number 1, Scripture says this: "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." You and I know the nature of God already. God is sovereign. Can I get an amen for that? He is sovereign. That means He is the boss, for sure. God is holy. That means He is absolutely 100% pure, distinct, set apart, without fault. God's omnipotent. That means He has absolutely no limit to His strength. He's omniscient. He knows absolutely everything. He's immutable. He doesn't change. He's wrathful to the unrepentant heart. And He's love. Now, you and I, through our thanksgiving, can take the nature of God and through testimony explain to others His nature. On Tuesday night, here at Marquette, there's going to be a testimony service. I promise you, if you attend, there's going to be a rehearsal of some things that people are presently thankful for. There's going to be a rehearsal of some things that happened over this past year, or maybe years in past. And one of the greatest things that I love during a testimony service at Thanksgiving is when somebody stands up and they say these words: "I am so thankful for eternal life." I got to tell you, that is the best. The fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross and that you and I could be thankful for His work completed for eternity. I want to encourage you. Thanksgiving gives us the ability to explain and present the nature of God. When I was 15 years old, I had a unique experience when I was 15. Nothing bad happened, for sure, but at the time, my father wanted me to get my pilot's license, and I wanted to get it as well. And you can start training at 15 and 16 as well, so our family was always involved in aviation, still is. And I remember out at the DuPage Airport, my father would pay for training on Saturday afternoons and then Sunday afternoons after church. So I would fly on Saturday and Sunday. And I remember one Sunday, back when I was 15, I was with a flight instructor, and we were flying Sunday afternoon, and it was very, very quiet. Not a ton of airplanes in the traffic pattern. And my dad said, "Hey, why don't you go up flying with the instructor?" And I said, "Sure, let's do it." So we went up, and we flew around quite a bit and then landed. And the instructor said, "Hey, I want you to solo today." I'm like, "I'm 15. All right, let's do this." I had no fear as a young man. And the instructor said, "There's really nobody in the traffic pattern. You've got this down. Why don't you fly solo today?" And okay. Went to my father. I said, "Is it okay?" He's like, "Yeah, if you feel comfortable, do it. Let's get it done today." So I did. Hopped in the airplane. I still remember the airplane. I remember its name. It has a call sign on it called November 6608 Sierra. I have that memorized because, you know, once it's in your brain, it doesn't leave. And so I remember as a young kid, taxied out and got on the runway, called the tower, and I said, "I'm ready for takeoff. 6608, ready for takeoff." The tower called back and said, "All right, you're good to go. Clear for takeoff." So I did. Took off, started flying around, went through one traffic pattern, and the protocol really is that when you come down and do a touch and go, so you land, you don't stop, you continue to roll, and then you fly again. So I did. I landed and took off again. I did that a second time, landed and took off again. And then the third one, the protocol is you do a complete stop, and really you don't like complete stop. They call it that, but you're gonna travel back to the hangar. You're gonna hang it up for the day. And so I remember that third trip around, on what they call the downwind leg. The tower calls me and they said, November 660 Sierra, extend your downwind. We have traffic coming into the pattern. I was like, okay, I know what that means. You keep on flying until they tell you the time to turn in. And so I did. I was listening for them. And then they said this, November 660 Sierra, time for your downwind leg, turn base and turn final, and you're clear to land. I did that. And it came down, and I heard a bunch of chatter on the radio, but it wasn't my call sign, so I didn't have to pay attention to it. I went and I landed and traveled back to the hangar. I was super excited and had finally finished this solo and taxied back to the hangar where my dad was, and I got out of the airplane. Everybody was excited. My dad tells me this. He says, hey, Robert, I'm going to drive you over to the tower. We're going to drive over to the tower. You're going to drive, and I want you to go upstairs. I want you to talk to the controllers today. I want you to say thank you. And what does every 15-year-old boy say? Why? Why? And it was, well, they'll explain it to you. They'll let you know. And so I asked my dad, did I do something wrong? He said, absolutely not. He said, congratulations, you did good. But I want you to go say thank you to the controllers. I had no idea. So hopped in the truck. My dad was teaching me manual transmission at the time. We drove over to the tower, got up, climbed up all the stairs, got into, and this is back when things were wide open, you could do something like this. And got in, and the fellows that were there controlling the pattern said, hey, thank you so much. I was in November 6608 Sierra. Thank you so much. That was my solo flight. I really appreciate it. And they said, oh, congratulations. That's great. Great job. And I said, my dad wanted me to come up here and say thank you, so I am. Did I do anything wrong? And he goes, well, I gotta tell you something. When you were extending your downwind, we knew that you were a student. We wanted to turn you back in right away, and so we did. We let one airplane land in front of you. We controlled you and had you land right after that, but there was a corporate jet that was right behind you. And he was coming in pretty hot. But we knew what was best. So we made him go around. Now, for me, I thought, oh, that's glorious. Like, I'm here, I'm alive, everything is good. But what my dad told me later was it cost that corporate jet a lot of money to fuel back up, to go around. And he doesn't do a little pattern. He has to go way, way, way around and then land. And when I got back down, got to my father, I said, oh, like, they told me exactly what happened. I said, I am so thankful that I wasn't in, like, Idaho before they made me turn around and come back. And he said, Robert, I wanted you to hear from them the explanation of what they did for you. Now, that's never left me, ever. I thought I could have gotten lost out there. I was brand new. But that pure explanation leads me to draw one conclusion about how you and I can connect what's going on in our life with Thanksgiving and explain it to others. I'm not going to say it because this is streamed, but I have some people that I'm praying for salvation. Do you know what they need out of my mouth? It's Thanksgiving about our God. They need the clear presentation of the gospel. Don't get me wrong. But they need to hear Thanksgiving. Do you know what my kids need to hear from their father? Explanation of Thanksgiving. Do you know what my wife needs to hear from her husband? Thanksgiving. Explanation of how God's working in my heart. I want to challenge you today that faith is tied with Thanksgiving. It's an act of faith. Our Thanksgiving explains the nature of God. And I want to give you four thieves of Thanksgiving, and we'll wrap it up tonight. One of the thieves of Thanksgiving is selfishness. Now, everybody else struggles with this, not us. But selfishness and pride can rob you of Thanksgiving. How many of you know when your eyes are on yourself and your eyes are on your problem, you have no desire to be? Zero. When you're complaining about your problems and you're full of anxiety and concern about yourself, there's no desire for Thanksgiving. It'll steal and it'll thieve you of your Thanksgiving. Number two, another thief of Thanksgiving is silence. You know where that core commodity that you and I need in Thanksgiving is to actually talk, to get the words out? I love when Pastor gets up on Sunday morning and he's thankful. Tonight I was thankful for Rachel and Caleb. I looked at Caleb when he was coming up and I said, "Are you ready for this, buddy?" He's like, "Yeah, I am. I am so thankful." Here's a young man that does this. You know, a thankfulness goes a long, long way, but you can't be silent. That'll thieve you. It'll rob you of thanksgiving. Number three, not being content with what God has provided for you. Again, other people struggle with this. It's not us. This is just an illustration. But when we're not content with what God has provided for us, that's why Paul says this: "I have learned to be content." It just doesn't happen. Right, I think that maybe some of you have heard this. I'm going to make this quick. My time is done. I promise you I'm going to wrap up quick. I am going to be, prayerfully, going to be a grandfather here in May. So I'm excited. Our daughter Lauren and Josh are expecting, so we're super, super excited. I promise you he's going to be a little sinner, or she's going to be a little sinner as soon as she comes out. There's going to be no thanksgiving whatsoever coming out of this selfish baby's heart. You know why? That's how we're made. That's you and I. There's no thanksgiving. This is literally a learned commodity. The only thing that the baby's concerned with is, I'm kind of hungry right now. I want me. I want what I want right now. So another thing that will steal thanksgiving, will rob you, is not being content with what God has provided, and we know that to be the best. And then finally, not trusting God with your life, or with your tomorrow, or with your trial. Would you and I be able to do that? Just let God hold the reins on tomorrow? Let God hold the reins on your life and on your trials? I want to encourage you tonight as we close. I'd love to bring you to a point of decision, or at least a point of consideration. And that's this: would this Thanksgiving season be just a little bit different if you and I bathed ourselves in Thanksgiving? We've got a week that we potentially focus in on this, but it's more of a life goal. That you and I would bathe ourselves in thankfulness, that we would go to God and offer praise and thanks for all that He has done, that He's doing now, and that He will do. And would you also consider this? Would you consider speaking to God and adoring Him and being thankful in your personal time? Would you consider this as well? Would you consider going out of your way, doing something a little abnormal, and thanking somebody else today or tomorrow or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of this week? Would you go out of your way? And then finally, would you consider this: letting your faith activate your thankfulness? Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for the time that You've given to us. We're thankful for the attention that You pay to us on a daily basis, and how You watch over us, dear God, and how You teach us and instruct us and guide us in Your Word. Lord, I pray tonight as we close up this evening service that we'd be about the business of thankfulness. Lord, that we would be attentive and respond to Your goodness and to Your nature. Lord, may our mouths speak. May we adore You and come to You and commune with You and be thankful. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would do a work in our hearts this evening. And Lord, challenge us, bring us to that decision. And Lord, I pray that we would be active in all that You ask us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.